You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Matthew Leach and Paul Hagan.
We're about to talk a little Baltimore Orioles here on MLB.com Extras, Matthew Leach and Paul Hagan. And Paul, the Orioles are still holding on to the division lead here, but they're not showing a lot of oomph at the plate. What do you see when you look at this lineup right now?
Well, like you say, Matthew, I think that that was something that Dan Duquette was hoping to address before the non-waiver trade deadline and wasn't able to do it. But I'm sure that they will continue to look at players who get through waivers and look for a way to add some punch to the lineup because, as you say, that certainly has been a problem. There was a report out there that they attempted to trade for Asdrubal Cabrera before he went to the Nationals. So that shows me that they were definitely looking to do something to add to their offense.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lineup that's been, at times, been very good and certainly has the potential to put a lot of runs on the board and has some power. But, you know, is this something where, are you worried about this lineup, or do you think this is just one of those things that happens over a course of a season?
Well, I think that you would certainly like the Orioles' chances better if they were able to add a little more pop to the lineup. It's funny. This season is very reminiscent of 2 years ago where the Orioles won a lot of one-run games, won a lot of games in extra innings. They seem to be following that same pattern again. And coming out of the break, they won 10 of their first 16 games against teams like the A's and the Angels and the Mariners. So I think that shows that they have some staying power here, but they don't seem to have a whole lot of margin for error.
Right, and I think you make a really key point here, which is that this team is not really, it's not like they're struggling. It's not like they're not winning games. They're just not scoring runs, and it is kind of a familiar formula for them. You go on that West Coast road trip and hold your own, which they certainly did, and then come home for some tough series. It's not as though this team is in rough shape. It's just that it's kind of a different shape of things, and it makes me think about, you know, one of those sort of old baseball cliches is that good teams can beat you a lot of different ways, and I wonder if all we're seeing here is a team that's proven that it can beat you 2-1 and it can beat you 7-5.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the credit, of course, goes to the bullpen again, which got better with the addition of Andrew Miller. I think the one concern is that while the bullpen has been performing well, coming out of the trading deadline, the relief pitchers had the fourth most innings in the American League. So you get a little concerned, I guess, about overwork at this point. But the trade for Miller does give them four left-handers in the bullpen. Zach Britton, the closer, T.J. McFarlane, and Brian Matus. So that does give manager Buck Showalter some flexibility when he goes to make a move.
And I think it's also worth noting that if there's one guy who's earned the benefit of the doubt as far as using a bullpen, it's Buck Showalter. I mean, one of the things that he really prides himself on is not wearing these guys out, even when they're pitching innings. You know, he's really big on if a guy gets up out there, he gets in the game. And I think that the degree to which they are vigilant about watching not just game innings, but all the pitches these guys throw, indicates to me that they may not be as in for a fall as some clubs would be with that number of bullpen innings. I think that they're aware of what they're doing and have a real good record of keeping these guys fresh, which is good because obviously that's the one thing that if they don't have, I think we could both agree that if they don't have that, things would turn in the wrong direction pretty rapidly for this club.
Yeah, and that was certainly the case in 2012. They were able to maintain that through the rest of the season. I think, you know, another way that you save your bullpen is to have your starters go a little bit deeper. I know Dan Duquette talked about that he might have wanted to add a starter before the non-waiver deadline, but the prices the teams were asking were just exorbitant, and he wasn't going to give up Kevin Gausman. So I think you could see them definitely look for a waiver pitcher in August. You know, Duquette does have a little bit of a track record there. He got Joe Saunders in 12 and Mike Morse last year. So this is a team that does look at the waiver wire and does have a track record, at least in recent years, of making a move in August.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I've long thought is there's really nobody better around the margins of a roster than Dan Duquette, whether it's waiver pickups, whether it's bullpen, whether it's bench. He's just got an amazing knack for finding non-obvious pieces to help his ball club. You talk about the rotation, and you know, one if you want to be optimistic about them, you know, one thing that really stands out is that Ubaldo Jimenez is coming back, and he's been good in the past. He hasn't been good this year. But you talk about somebody who could give them some innings. It's, you know, one way that this team looks a whole lot different if Ubaldo looks good when he comes back and starts reeling off seven innings a start. That has all kinds of good effects if it happens.
Yeah, and I think there are also some pitchers out there who will get through waivers. I think the one guy that, you know, people are always going to talk about with the Orioles is A.J. Burnett, because he lives near Baltimore and has talked about wanting to pitch near home. On the other hand, his numbers against the American League East have not been very good in his career. So while at first glance that might look like an attractive option for the Orioles, I'm not sure that it really is in reality.
Yeah, I worry a little about Burnett. I think this may be finally the time that the years are starting to catch up to him a little bit. You know, it was so much fun to watch him the last few years as he reinvented himself as a real strike thrower, among other things, for a guy who had control issues earlier in the year. You know, he's leading the NL in walks again. It's not that he couldn't add some value, and it's not that he couldn't shore up the back end of their rotation. I mean, he's still getting innings to a degree that almost nobody in the Orioles is. But you do kind of wonder if he's the same guy that we got used to seeing the last couple of years with this renaissance he had.
Yeah, and he has not pitched well in his last couple starts for the Phillies, so that's another reason to wonder if he may not be running out of gas a little bit at this point of the season. I think another interesting thing that happened here at the non-waiver deadline was, you know, Dan Duquette admitted that he looked at what the A's did and what the Tigers did, and so that tells me that he's already looking forward a little bit to October, not certainly taking anything for granted, but looking forward to what matchups there might be once it gets to October, assuming they do.
Sure, and you know what? That makes a lot of sense. I mean, this is 2 years ago, I think getting there was enough for this organization. It had been such a long time. People were so starved for a winner there that being in contention and being there at the end and getting into the division series was enough. I think that, you know, the expectations are different now. I think the expectations with this club and with this organization, just being there and playing meaningful games in September, I don't think is enough anymore. And the other thing to note is that, you know, they have a decent lead. They're not running away with this division at all, but they do have a decent lead, and none of the teams that's chasing them really looks that scary. I mean, the Blue Jays put together a little run, and then they kind of faded a little bit again. You know, it's a team with a lot of upside, but it's still pretty flawed. You know, Yankees have been outscored on the year. The Rays just traded their ace, and they're 8.5 back. So, if I'm an Orioles fan, I'm feeling really good about this division with 8 weeks to play.
Yeah, and I think the funny thing is, though, after the A's did what they did and after the Tigers did what they did, the Orioles' Las Vegas odds to win the World Series actually got worse. So, it's a team that probably doesn't get as much respect as it should. But if I were Baltimore, I would certainly want to win the division and not have to take my chance in a one-game series, especially because I have had so many one-run games and extra-inning games this year, even though I've been successful then.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, nobody wants any part of that game if they can avoid it. And the other thing, you know, we talk about this team in October, and obviously we're probably getting way ahead of ourselves, and there are probably Orioles fans who are screaming at us as they listen to this, even talking about it. But, you know, I can see a formula a little like a team I covered, those 2011 Cardinals, where you just get to that bullpen early. You get your starter through five or six, and you get to that bullpen. And you know, you mentioned the odds dwindling, and I think that's a fair point. I mean, I think the Tigers and A's both got stronger, which means that if they get there, the path got more difficult. But, you know, I still think you can kind of see the way that this team maybe makes a deep run. They hit some home runs, they play good defense, and they shorten the game and make it a five or six inning game. That's a formula that's worked in October before.
Yes, and I think you could certainly make a case looking back over the last several years that it's not necessarily the team with the best overall record in the regular season. It's a team that gets hot at the right time, and the Orioles certainly have the capability of doing that.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, they have the capacity to do that. And, you know, I'm really curious to see what they look like over the last 2 months because they've got so many variables. You know, well, 8 weeks really, not even 2 months. You know, do they start seeing the Chris Davis that we saw a year ago? Do they start seeing Nelson Cruz get back to form after a rough midseason? You know, Hardy's not really had a good year at the plate. You know, there are a lot of ways that you can see. I mean, you talked about Jimenez, but there are a lot of ways you can see this club looking a lot more impressive in a month or two than it does now. I mean, I think they're fascinating because they've had a lot of things go right, but they've had a lot of things not go right. This is not a team that's running at sort of full song right now. It's a team that's playing pretty well.
And certainly, if you're one of the baseball people who believes that players will end up pretty much where they're supposed to, you can look at a guy like Davis and a guy like Hardy and hope on the idea that they would have two pretty good months to end this season to get back to where they normally would be.
I would certainly think that. I certainly at least think you'd get more from they've gotten so far. Thanks for joining us here on MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach with Paul Hagan, and we've been talking the Baltimore Orioles.